The Approaching the Natural podcast with Sid Garza-Hillman. Sid is the author of Approaching the Natural, a health manifesto, a certified nutritionist, health coach, and programs director at the Stanford Ince Wellness Center on the Mendocino coast of California.
Hello, small steppers. This is Sid Garza-Hillman and the Approaching the Natural podcast. And as my children told you at the beginning of this, it is episode 100. Kind of a thing. You know, I don't want to get all thinginess about it, but it's a thing. It's 100. It's 100 episodes. For 100 weeks straight, I have come in here, or several locations, actually, over the last 100 weeks, and recorded this podcast every week. And so now I'm at 100. It is kind of a milestone. So, you know, I wanted to do something special for this episode, and I did. And I think I told you already, but I do need to give the credit to my friend Scott, who also and his wife Hillary, who made a suggestion for this episode, and I took it to heart. I thought it was a great idea, and so I went ahead and did that for this episode. So before I get to that, if you're just joining me, you took 100 episodes to join the Approaching the Natural podcast. What have you been doing for the last 100 weeks? Maybe dieting over and over again, and in which case, good, you're here. Buckle in, okay? There will be 101. That's next week. Okay. But if you are just joining me, please go back. Please, especially go back, because this is not going to be your typical episode. Go back and listen to old ones. And if you're joining me again, go back and do that too. But this is a very cool episode. I'm very proud of it and very happy about it. And so I'm going to launch that. If you go Google that Google thing, and you go Sid Garza-Hillman, you're going to find me on all my social media avenues. Okay, so just, I don't want to belabor that point, but that includes my YouTube channel and Strava. Okay, so just Sid Garza-Hillman. You can go SidGarzaHillman.com and you can buy Approaching the Natural podcast related items, and which I sold a few more this week. Thank you. I hope you got them. And also get a free chapter of my book and find out what I do, because I am a health coach and certified nutritionist working with people all over the United States and world. So that's how that goes. Thank you to everybody who has shown support to me in a number of different ways over the last 100 episodes. Some of those ways are nice emails that I get all the time that are like total currency in my mind. But then there's also currency. So by donating to this podcast, whatever you can, does help me come to work and do this job, which is my job. Also giving me iTunes reviews and just passing it on to a friend. These are all much appreciated ways that over the last 100 weeks, I have seen an outpouring of support for this. I hope that means that I don't want you doing me any favors. That's all I'm saying. I hope it means that you're getting some out of this. I hope you are. I hope you're getting some out of it. That is part of the reason why I did this episode, also, which you'll hear again, okay? Also, thanks to the Stanford Inn, who basically provided me the outlet to do this podcast. They're not paying me to do it, but at the same time, they set me up. It got me the laptop before my first episode, and a microphone, a better microphone down the line, and they've been very supportive. I run their wellness center, and love that place. So that's how that goes, okay? StanfordInn.com. There's some retreats and stuff like that you can find out about. You can also email me to get information on that. Portland Veg Fest, November 14th and 15th. Got some more YouTube subscribers. Excellent. Okay. Now, let's get into this podcast episode. And I wanted to say that after what you're going to hear, I'm going to jump back in at the end. And I'll just, you know, spoiler alert, going to lay down some serious gratitude and things like that. But the idea for this episode from my friend Scott and Hillary, was to get actual listeners to tell their stories. And I thought, what an awesome idea. So obviously, because you guys know, this is a one-sided interaction. You know, I record the podcast in here and I do hear people, you know, back from emails. And so it's not totally one-sided, but at the same time, I'm doing the talking. And, these emails I'm getting are incredible. It's not like I didn't know this worked. I wouldn't be on here spouting off every week if I thought it was not working, because then I would just be wasting my time and your time. I do believe in this 100%. With that said, I thought, what a great idea. I'll contact some people who I've heard from over the last 2 years and asked them if they would like to jump in here and tell their story. And so I did. Now, if you're out there and you emailed me and you didn't get an email from me to do this, it doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that I didn't think your story was valid or anything. Here's literally what happened. I randomly chose five people, and not fully random. I mean, there was, you know, some people are like, hey, thanks, been working for me. But there's other people who laid down a story, and so there's some more meat to their my interaction with them, so sure. But what I really figured was I would send the first batch of emails, four or five, to the first kind of randomly, semi-randomly selected group. And out of that, I figured maybe one or two would want to do it, and then the rest wouldn't. And then I'd send another group of emails. Five out of five people responded and said that they would be happy to be on. So that was like, I could not believe, I figured it was just going to be a couple week process of, you know, continually emailing people and sort of getting back and forth. But five out of five people got right back to me and said they would do it. And I think that's phenomenal too. So I really don't want to belabor the point here. I want to tell you that I'm just going to run these into each other. So there's a little pause in between each, and you're going to hear people say in their own words. And you can tell that, you know, some people had sort of a prepared thing they wanted to say, and some people kind of, it was a little back and forth. I wanted them to be comfortable. So I said, if you want me to ask questions, I can. One of them at the very end, the last one, he had a couple questions for me. And I didn't know that was coming. And he said, can I ask you a couple questions? I said, sure. So he asked me a couple questions too, which were really good and I think will be useful for you. The whole idea of this is pretty simple. And that is that this is real. And I come on here every week because I believe in it. And when you are going through the things that I'm going through and you're sharing those things, then all these other listeners get to hear from other people doing this. And I guarantee you, there's through lines to everybody's life. And I've said it before, and I'll take this opportunity at episode 100 to say it again. Most of us are in the same boat. Most of us struggle with the same things. We put on the face we put on in public, but if we really sat down with somebody, we would probably find way more similarities than not. And part of this podcast is to make everybody understand that a human animal, a natural animal living in an unnatural world, puts us all at a disadvantage to success. The odds are stacked against us. That's a commonality between our entire species living in the modern world. And so this podcast is dedicated to helping people understand that and to move past it and to grow in spite of it. And I think it's been successful based on what I've heard from you guys. Some things that literally move me to tears. I get emotional in one of these interviews that you're going to hear. It's incredible to me what has happened over the 100 episodes. When I began this podcast, I probably wouldn't have said that I would have made it to 100. I probably would have said I'd probably do it for a little while and shut it down. And I even said a few episodes ago that there was a part of me that thought, well, maybe I'll just go to 100 and shut it down. I'm not going to shut it down. It's worth it for me. And if nobody even ever donated ever again or any bought a single t-shirt, I'd still do it. I believe in it. And so, it makes me feel good, and it's work that I love to do. And on a very practical level, helps me in the coaching that I do and the teaching that I do also. It's all part of that thing. And so here's the trite gratitude, which I'll throw down again at the very end, but it doesn't make sense unless there's people listening to this. So you guys make me come back every week. And I know that there's literally over 200,000 different podcasts out there. And you spend time with this one, and I'm sure you do with others too, but the fact that you carve out some time for this one means a lot to me. And I appreciate all your feedback, and I hope it's been fun, and I want to continue making it fun because we can actually have more fun than we're having. And so I'm going to jump back in at the end for a little surprise ending too, okay? But without further ado, I'm going to let these people introduce themselves and just a few minutes each, and it's very cool. So listen and enjoy, and I'll pop back in at the end. All right, guys.
Hi, my name is Amanda, and I'm speaking from Indiana, and I'm here to talk about my experience with the podcast, and it's helped me to learn more about myself, how to live a life in a more aware state, and how I can grow, expand, pursue my passions, and develop a more self-accepting relationship with myself. Before I discovered the podcast, I was tired of living day to day in a dull routine. I was getting caught up in the workday, letting stress get the best of me, and going to bed unhappy. I often beat myself up over things. My marriage was really unhealthy, and I ate my emotions, and I really hated that habit. I felt like for the longest time I was trying to figure out what was making me unhappy and what I could do about it. The feeling of being constantly unhappy day to day was so overwhelming and a problem that seemed too hard to tackle. I knew I was unhappy, I just didn't know where to begin. The podcast helped me to look at myself and my life in an honest but gentle way. The best step for me was to write down attributes that are me as if they were true today. I think this was a critical first step. Thinking about who I am helps me to make decisions to become that person I wrote on paper. I'm mindful now when I make decisions, and I'm more self-aware. Writing helped me to think about my personal happiness, my job, my creativity, my relationship with food, relationships with people, the state of my marriage. I can't say that I followed a step-by-step plotted-out linear plan. The best step for me in this process is to live each day with the thought, today I will do the best that I can. I've learned to be more gentle to myself and to become more realistic with my expectations. Becoming clear with who I am and being aware of my most of the time has helped me with my expectations. For example, I don't beat myself up if I end up eating out of emotion. I understand this is where I'm at today, and it's okay, and I know that this is not who I am. The me, not me game. It's good to know. My emotional eating has dramatically reduced, by the way. Even though the marriage did not survive, I do go to bed feeling as if my life is enriched. I feel way more in tune with myself than I did 1 year ago. I often think back to what I might have been doing 1 year ago versus today, and I've made so much progress, and I think I'm handling my separation healthy, largely due to the tools that I've learned. So all in all, the podcast has definitely helped me to become more self-aware and to make more positive decisions to the true me. And so that's what I wrote.
That's awesome. Thank you. And so I wanted to ask, do you struggle with the long-term nature of this process? You know, are there times during the last year, let's say, where you were just like, man, I wish this would go faster, or why isn't this going fast enough, or why am I still emotionally eating? Does that stuff come up on a regular basis?
You know, kind of. I think in the beginning, I was kind of feeling like, oh, I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of this troubled state. And it was hard for me to see the clear picture. But, you know, like I said, as I start each day and I just say, today I'm going to do the best that I can, and I'm mindful of my decision making, that I'm able to see a difference now than even just like a few months ago. So knowing that I have made just little changes now from a little bit ago is positive, and it's helping me see the long-term light that, okay, this is working. So I'd say, to answer your question, yeah, I think it was a little difficult in the beginning, but now I just know that for the long term, this is definitely working.
And I think, and I've talked about it before, obviously, in the podcast, but I think what's great about your experience is, because you're engaging in your life in this way, you're actually noticing the things that you are doing and are accomplishing more than I think people might if they're, you know, focused on a diet or focused on some other kind of thing. I think you're realizing that you are making super huge progress. It just doesn't look like other kinds of things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the biggest thing for me is that I am more gentle on myself. I used to be so hard on myself, and I would second guess myself. And I think that I've gained a great amount of confidence in my self-esteem, and I feel good about the decisions that I make. And I think that's probably the biggest thing that I've noticed today than maybe 1 year ago. So that's a really good thing.
Okay. Well, it's all I'm getting. It actually makes me kind of emotional, because it's just like, it's such a cool thing to hear.
Aww.
You know, it's just a positive thing. Anyway, that's why I do the podcast, and you guys are awesome. And I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, I felt like people when I approached them, you know, might be embarrassed to get on there, but I think it's a great thing for other listeners to hear from the other side, you know, of people who are other listeners who are going through this themselves.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think everybody has something that's going on. And, you know, when I listen to your podcast, I envision other listeners that are, you know, maybe struggling to find movement, or, you know, they want to eat a little bit healthier and not turn to the fast food. And like, everybody's got something different. And this is my journey and my take on it. So, I'm absolutely happy to share my story with other people. And it's been a huge impact on my life for sure. So I thank you for providing, you know, what you have to say in your perspective. So thank you.
Well, it's my pleasure. And okay, well, Amanda, thank you so much. And I will, so I hope the other listeners get something from your story, because I certainly did.
Oh, yay. Cool. Okay.
Thanks a lot.
My name is Deborah. I live in Austin, or in a suburb of Austin. So it's all Austin, really. So I've been with Sid since, I know, like, the first 10 episodes. I don't remember exactly where I came in. I think that you were a guest on some other podcast I listened to, and I got the book and was really into it and everything. And so I immediately went back and listened to whatever episodes I had missed and got caught up. And I totally dig it. I mean, I love the small steps, and I think I said in an email that I feel like this is kind of what I've been doing for a lot of my life, but I always thought I was just into moderation or something like that. It's fantastic. It's kind of in every aspect of my life. Like, okay, I'll walk a little more. I have a Fitbit, and which I love the Fitbit too, because it's like a little more steps, you know, a few more steps, a little more activity. You know, like, I think of it as I'm trying to eat food that's a lot of colors, you know, a lot of green foods, a lot of like red foods, orange foods. I just had a salad with like 6 colors in it, along with my beans and rice for dinner. So that's kind of that. But I'll tell you, like, the most small steppy thing that's like really concrete for me that I've done, and this was in the last year, in about the last 9 or 10 months. I had a work project that was super, super, super stressful for me. And I used to meditate, I don't know, 15 years ago, you know, before we had kids and, you know, life got crazy and busy and everything. And so I had this work project. It was really kind of overwhelming to me. And I was like, I really feel like I need to be meditating. But I knew it wasn't going to work for me to, like, start out with 20 minutes. And so I literally started meditating for 1 minute a day, like the first day. And then, like, after a couple days of 1 minute, then I went 2 minutes, and I literally did it like 2 minutes a day for 7 days. If I missed a day, I couldn't make it 2 minutes or whatever, I just dropped back down. And I did that. And like every week, if I had done a week of, you know, that minutes, then I bumped it up. I'm now at 20 minutes a day. So I meditate every morning for 20 minutes. But again, like, small stepping is like, some days it's not 20 minutes, because I got married 3 weeks ago on pretty short notice. We tossed together a wedding in about 3 weeks. The day that I got married, I meditated 10 minutes. The day that we were getting countertops put in, I meditated 6 minutes. Like, it's every day there's some time meditating. The goal is 20, and sometimes it's 20 and sometimes it's not, but it's every day. And it makes a huge difference for me. It makes a huge difference in, like, how calm I am all day. It makes a difference in my sleep, makes a difference in driving and dealing with the kids and, you know, and putting together a wedding in 3 weeks. So, for me, like, that's the most concrete example I have of how the small steps really, really works for me. And the other thing I'd say about it is, I think that, like, listening to you has really helped me to figure out how to better deal. Like, my wife is sort of on the other side. She wants to count calories. She kind of freaks out about it. And she's very concerned about our son's protein intake. And so, like, I hear things on your show that I'm really able to kind of work into the conversation to just say, you know, I'm not really so worried about the protein. And I feel like if he's eating enough and he's getting a nutritional balance of food, then I'm okay with the protein. I think he's more relaxed. I think she's gotten more relaxed. And I think she's gotten sort of, like, has absorbed some small steps philosophy kind of by osmosis, just by me kind of sliding it in there. So that's my canned rambling for you.
It's excellent. And the only thing I would ask you is, do you ever feel, let's say in the meditation process, did you ever feel
frustrated, like, I should be able to do 20 minutes a day? Do you ever feel that pull, or have you gotten so used to that it's just going to take a while, and when it happens, it happens? Is there any tough periods for you like that?
You know, like, okay, on a day when, I guess, like, now that I'm 220 minutes, if I sit down for 20 minutes and then I stop after six, yeah, that's frustrating to me. And I'm like, I should have been able to do that. But when I'm like, when I sit down and I'm like, this is going to be 6 minutes, as long as I go in thinking it, I'm totally cool. But yeah, I mean, it is still frustrating if it's like, if I think I'm going to do 20 minutes and either, like, I don't know if you can hear the dog barking right now. The dog is barking. If the dogs are barking or the kids are yelling or I've got to jump up and transfer the laundry or whatever life is going on, then yeah, I mean, it is still frustrating because it's still life.
But how long did it take you to get from your 1 minute to your 20 minutes?
Like 5 months.
So, you know, and then what I talked about in the most recent, in episode 99, actually, was just how fast that time flies. And now you can look back at the last 5 minutes and go, you've been virtually meditating almost every single day.
Yeah, exactly.
And so it's pretty great. So anyway, well,
fantastic.
Is there anything that you want to add?
I guess congratulations and thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think, I mean, I love your book and the, like, it keeps being free, but even not free, like, it's really cheap. And I think that is a gift to people, you know, to everybody. And thank you for the podcast, because it is an amazing and wonderful resource. And I listen every week. I haven't listened to 99 yet, because Rich's podcast from yesterday is like 2 hours and 17 minutes long. So I'm still working my way through. He, you know, kind of beat you to the start there.
How dare he?
But I listen every week and it's just, it's amazing. And I get some wisdom and you're funny. And I appreciate that. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And congratulations.
Deborah, thank you so much. And for your time, cause I know that you're busy, and congratulations on your marriage. I saw that on Facebook. So good for you. Congrats to you both. And I wish you both well, and I hope that I'm sure we'll cross paths at some point soon.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
absolutely.
Deborah.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Sid, this is Kevin from Houston, Texas. How you doing?
I'm doing well.
Well, thanks for letting me kind of tell my story, I guess, and I owe a lot to you for you know, helping guide me through some of the things I've accomplished here.
Well, I'd love to hear what you have to say.
You know, a couple of things really. There's been a couple overreaching principles that have guided me that came from your book and your podcast, and the one really overall. The first step, and I'm gonna probably get the quote wrong, but you said, "Who do you want to be?" And that is who you are. And once I wrap my head around that and understanding that, hey, I want to be this person. Okay, I truly in my heart want to be this person. I just need to figure out how to get there. And how I get there is the small steps along the way, getting to the person I want to be. But once I've determined that's the person I want to be, I'm on my way. It could be infinitesimally small steps, or it could be large steps, but I'm on my way to being that person I want to be.
Right.
And in my case, I've used this kind of 3 times over the past year and a half to accomplish some pretty big changes, I think, in my life. And one of those, I had almost more than a 30-year addiction to smokeless tobacco, and really struggled throughout my life to think that this is not something someone in their 40s needs to continue doing. I need to be healthier for my family, for my wife, my daughter, and struggle to quit. And so one of my friends kind of gave me a kick and pointed me in the right direction of an addiction counselor who I started working with. And it still wasn't clicking. And about that time, I heard you on the Rich Roll podcast and started following up from there and listening to your old podcast and reading your book. And that's where I came across that message about who do you want to be? And the answer was, I wanted to be someone who didn't use tobacco. I so wanted to be that person. And I realized, okay, I am going to be that person. It's just what steps do I take to get there? And I did struggle trying to figure out what are those steps. That's not easy. But as I was journaling about it, I was thinking about it, I was talking about it with my addiction counselor. And after a while, I realized all those things I'm doing are steps I'm taking. And so I kept making little steps, which is, you know, I was visualizing, I was writing down thoughts, I was designing activities to help me not think about tobacco. I was listening to the podcast, you know, I was talking about it with my wife and visualizing who I wanted to be. And all these little small steps, they were mental. They weren't, you know, physical steps. They weren't, you know, eating a slice of cucumber, but they were steps I was making towards being that person I wanted to be. And after about 13 months of kind of small steps, I felt like I was ready to quit. I picked a day and it was easy. You know, I had prepared myself. I had taken steps and I achieved it. And I was that person I wanted to be. And at this point I'm 15 months tobacco free and so thankful.
That's amazing.
You know, a couple other short ones I can tell you as well too, on the journaling side. You know, I heard you talking about doing the journaling, and I thought, my goodness, you know, I can devote 15, 20 seconds a day to write one sentence. And I set up on my iPhone, and every night at 9:01 p.m., a little message box pops up. I type in one sentence. That's it. Here I am 5-6 months later. I'm still journaling one sentence, but every day I'm a journaler. I write one sentence. It's a small step, but you know, looking back at that journal now, it's important. It's helpful to see what I thought. You know, one sentence can be a powerful thing, and that's another way of saying a small step can really be a powerful thing. And you know, a third one is meditation. I think I had more struggles with this almost than with the tobacco usage. I knew I could benefit from, you know, a calm time, a reflective time. And I banged my way through this. I sat in a chair for a half an hour in the morning, in the night, just before I went to bed, tried reading about it, tried some guided meditations, read books about it, video series. It didn't click, but I kept trying different things because I knew I wanted to be that person who was a meditator, I guess is the word, but I wanted to be that person who took time to think and reflect, and I just needed to find out how I was going to get there. And eventually, I kept banging my way through it, found another app on the iPhone. It really ended up clicking as a guided meditation, and here I am almost 5 months later, a daily meditator. And it feels great. You know, it's a very calming part of my day. And it's just a matter of taking those steps. And some of those steps don't work. That's the frustrating part. And you have to realize that, you know, even if the step doesn't work, it's still a step you're taking and trying to get to that person who you are. And you just haven't achieved it yet.
So what was name me a step that you were particularly frustrated with or that just didn't flat out work and why?
I think one of the things in trying to quit the tobacco, you know, so many people said, hey, you just have to start reducing over time. And I think you tell the story on one of the podcasts about your friend who was quitting smoking, and he slowly phased it out over time. And I don't think I was ready to physically phase it out, and trying to do things where, hey, I'll do, you know, I won't use tobacco after 6 o'clock at night, or I won't use it before 9 a.m. or, you know, I tried to take steps towards reduction, but that didn't work for me. And I was so frustrated. And after a while and talking with a counselor, I was just like, this is not a step that's going to work for me. All the other steps are really positive and are moving me in the right direction. But sometimes you try and take a step and it just doesn't work, and you're trying to move forward and you have to realize that step's not for me.
Yeah, I just talked about that recently because I'm finding that more and more with clients that if they focus on what they don't want to do, it's really hard to maintain that. And I think what you did was right on the money. We've talked about this in the emails, you know, in our exchanges, but just adding in the journaling, thinking about what the guy that you want to be, and then just doing things to be that guy. And that's what you're doing. So are there still, do you feel daily struggles with the tobacco still, or where is your brain focused these days?
I'm good. I'm through that. I am now that person that I wanted to be, which was a non-tobacco user. Does it occasionally think about it, or I think about it? Yeah, I do. But here I am 14, 15 months later, and I feel like I'm through that, and I am a different person now. I am a person who is a non-tobacco user. And, you know, some of the other things that have a little less time, you know, like the journaling, I've missed a day. And, you know, your theory of most of the time has really been helpful there, right? if I miss a day, don't beat myself up about that. It's okay to screw up. It's okay to be human. There are some days I can't meditate or I can't write in my journal, and I don't panic, because my most of the time is at 9:01 p.m. I fill out that journal. At 7 o'clock in the morning, I'm doing that meditation. But there on occasion I miss it, and that's okay.
Right. What does your wife think about the tobacco thing that you were able to overcome?
I think she's amazed. She's amazed, and you know, she's thankful for you. You know, for so long it's been that crazy guy on his podcast, and it's really making, you know, helping you make changes. And now I think you know, I think you are a positive person in our household at this point in time.
Well, good. And I mean, that question wasn't meant to be about me, but I just think it must be amazing for a spouse to look at you and realize that you actually did it. And what an amazing example you're setting for your child. I mean, it's just, the whole thing is awesome. So is there anything else that you want to add?
Yep. I have three quick things I want to add at the end here is you know, I really look forward to that Tuesday morning. I hop in the car knowing the podcast is there. You provide reassuring thoughts. It's questions. It's things to think about. It's funny. It's almost it's therapeutic. It's like a meditation, and it's important to have that, and I appreciate that. Your podcast does make a difference in people's lives, and I still can't believe where I am today versus where I was, you know, 2 years ago, and you're a huge part of that, and I really appreciate that.
Well, my pleasure.
And finally, we need to find a way to bring Randy the Mechanic back as a regular guest on the podcast.
He's around. I'll bring him back. He's been busy. You know, he does a lot of car repairs, but he'll come back.
Well, excellent.
And what's the third thing?
No, that was I kind of wrapped up too. It was the first two were together as
okay.
One. So.
Okay. Well, Kevin, I appreciate, you know, a heartfelt gratitude. I think that I'd like to take credit for the idea of having actual listeners on this episode, but it was actually my friend Scott. He said, why don't you bring some people in that have contacted you and tell their stories? And I think that hearing real people with the struggles and also, better yet, the achievements that you guys are doing, and it is 100, like I always say, it's 100% you, because you weren't working with me. You just took this stuff on and you took it to heart and you made a huge change. And it just, in my own life, it's very inspiring for me, because you know that I've talked about, I'm in my own practice with this. So it helps me personally, and also just gives me enough fuel to keep doing the podcast and everything else, because this is the huge reward that I get. So I can't thank you enough, and I wish you all the best, and I hope that you keep in touch.
Excellent. I appreciate it. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kevin.
My name is Hannah Sherba. I'm from New Jersey. And I've been a small stepper since about 2014. Like, I started last year in like the winter time. I found Sid's podcast from another podcast, and immediately it was like, yes, this is great. Because I like struggle with like finding balance, and I always feel like it's either I'm all in or I'm not doing it at all. And like, I realize that that doesn't work. So, hey, yeah. I don't know what else to say. Maybe you should ask questions.
Well, what kind of steps have you done?
Okay, so in the beginning, well, let's just preface this by saying my small steps, some of them are like gigantic. Like, I first started listening, I had a really crappy job. So in the beginning, I was like, you know what? I just want to like start looking for another job. And I went online and I ended up like finding another job and landing an interview. And like, that was all within like 4 or 5 months of like, hey, like, this is not fun for me anymore, and like, let's find something else. So I got a new job, and I was working that job, and I'm like, I'm still not really happy. And I was like, still like playing the me not me game, as I do. And I just decided like the next small step that I should take would be like, which is a huge step, was to quit my job and go back to school, which is what I did. So that is like, even though it's not a small step, it was like a small step for me, which is like a giant leap for most people. but I had the support and I could do it. So I did it. And even though it's like a wild and crazy thing going back to school, the small steps has helped me deal with like being 25 and like doing stuff over again, even though it's like, I'm not that old, but going back to school and like dealing with the stresses of still being in school while like my friends are all like getting married and like moving on with their lives. And so some of the steps that I've done, like I've done the deep breathing step. I have like a jawbone up. It's like a Fitbit thing. And every day at 5:15, it buzzes and I take a deep breath.
Nice.
So that's one of the steps that I do. I've done meditation like in my car, like on the way to class or like in between classes. Usually like a YouTube, like 5-minute meditation. 'Cause like, that's all that I can handle.
Right.
When I was injured last year and I was running, I did some, instead of like throwing the baby out with the bathwater and like not just like, my physical therapist said no running, so I'm not doing any exercise. I like would go for walks, which I really enjoyed. And that was like keeping my time that I would have ran, even though I would like walk a less distance. So I feel like that was a small step because I could have just as easily been like, ah, forget it. I'm not doing anything. I've had like some of the steps that haven't worked for me have been like ones that I didn't attach to like a set time or like a something I've done. Like I was trying to get back into playing piano, which when I was in high school, I did a lot of music. I played the clarinet, like absolutely loved it. So I was like trying to get back into bringing some of that more into my life, like just touch the piano like once a day. And it became like super overwhelming because of everything else that I'm doing in my life. And it just didn't fit. And it wasn't like attached to like any of my other goals. So that was like one that like didn't work. And it's not one that like I wouldn't do again. It just like wasn't fitting in that time. And it's, you know, so that was kind of a bummer. But yeah.
No, that's great.
That was one of them.
Of course, what I would say is if that piano step wasn't working, it was still too big. And so if you know, like from listening to the podcast where my music steps once a week, because right, once a day was too much for me too. So do you feel, I guess, well, the question is about that piano thing. Like, do you grapple with why shouldn't I be able to do that? Or are you getting, it sounds like you're pretty good about saying, hey, it's just not fitting for me right now, but you're not beating yourself up about it.
Right. Like, I think that like, as far as like, I kind of think of things as like in four things, like meditate, like in the book, like meditation, like diet, exercise and creativity, like that kind of stuff. So all those things need to be in some sort of balance. And like right now in my life, I'm so focused on, I'm trying to get into a doctorate program. So it's just all about that. And there isn't a lot of time for like thinking about like, okay, so I'm going to like, I have to write all these essays, get all this stuff in, volunteer, go to work. And then I need to play piano for 5 minutes a day. And like in the end of the day, that's not going to happen. Like I get home and I'm like, no. So I think the timing was off. Like, I think it's like, I need to dial it in and make it a smaller step, even smaller than that, which to me is hard because you're like, how much smaller can this be? Like,
right,
you just have to touch the keys. Like, yeah. I don't even have to like play anything. I don't have to read any music. Like, but it was just like, I would like go into my room and like sit down at the keyboard and be like, I don't want to do this. And like, because I made it like too much of a thing. So.
Well, and that's why, yeah, I'm inviting listeners like you to come on, because I think there still is this thing where people go, why, this should be no big deal, but it is a big deal because people have that much going on in their lives, and fitting even the small, what they think is a small thing in, is hard. And I really appreciate you being honest about that, because
yeah,
I think it's hard for some people to be, you know, forthright about that stuff, to, because it's kind of, it sounds in a way embarrassing that you can't pull off 5 minutes of something. But for me, even personally, I can't pull off 5 minutes of music per day. That I know. And I used to be a full-time musician. So to me, there's no failure there at all. It's just that you're getting to know your life better and you're figuring out ways to improve your life. And I think that's where your power is.
Right. And like, I don't need any more stresses. So like the immediate, like if it stresses me out at all, I'm like, okay, this is done. This is not happening now. Like, cause like, I just can't fit anymore in like to everything else that I'm doing. But, what was I going to say? I thought of something as you were saying something. What I find most difficult about adding steps in is that my life is such that every day is different, and it's hard to like do that thing where you attach a step to something that you're already doing. Because I literally every day I'm either like, I'm up and I'm like, it's wild. Like, I don't even know when I'm going to like sit down and eat, like, because I'm just all over the place every single day.
Yeah.
So that's the most difficult thing for me. Like, if you're, I don't know what the solution is to that, but like, if you're a person who like doesn't have a normal schedule, like doesn't have a job or like basically every day does the same thing, like it's difficult to like be like, I'm going to do 10 squats every time I eat lunch. Like, I don't even know where I'm going to be. Like, I could be in my car. I could be like, you know, at home. I could be at work. I could be at this internship I'm doing. It's just like crazy.
Yeah. And it's an excellent point. And I've had clients like that too. And sometimes I just say, well, there's certain things like brushing your teeth, you know, right, that I guarantee you do twice a day. So maybe it's just about taking a deep breath every time you brush your teeth. Like, maybe that's just the thing that anchors your, bookends your days, or you do two squats as you're brushing your teeth. I mean, this is literally what it gets down to with some clients who are as busy as you are. How do you figure out how to insert that stuff in and not add extra pressure? Like you said, that's the last thing you need. So I think you're on the right track.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking the time. Hannah, is there anything else that you want to add?
No, this has been great. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you. And it was lovely meeting your mom. For people who are listening to this, we said quick hi on the video, and Hannah's mom, who also listens to the podcast, came in, so I got to see her too and say hi. So that was a treat.
Right. Oh, and she didn't go into this, but she said she was small stepping since it was before it was a thing. Like, she used to like, we've talked about it like before. Like, I gave her the podcast. I told her about the podcast, and she was like, "Oh my god!" Like, I can't believe this. Like, I've been doing this all along. Like, it was sort of like she had changed the way she was eating. This was like 10 years ago. She just like changed like one aspect of her plate and like lost 25 pounds. Like, that's what happens like over that much time. Like, it's crazy.
It's so cool. And like she said, it really does work. And as long as you understand that it's because you're doing it a way that's sustainable, it takes longer but it takes as long as it should take, you know, right. So it's pretty cool. So anyway,
yeah. So that's all.
All right. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Hannah.
Thank you.
All right. I am Tony Pierce, and I live in Grand Rapids, Minnesota. And I've been a principal for the last 3 years at Cohasset Elementary up here in Grand Rapids. And I recently, moving out of that role into the position with our special services administrator in our special services department. But I think you asked me to be on here to kind of talk a little about the small step experience and how that impacted our school. And really, when I reached out to you and sent you an email before, it was kind of talk about the school experience, but also the life experience. And obviously, for most of us, I think there's always overlaps between personal and professional and that. So one of the things, just a little history on my family and where I'm at personally, is we're plant-based, have been as a family for about 5 years now. And so I took this job as a principal, and one of the first things I noticed is, you know, as principal, anytime there's a birthday or celebration or anything, everyone always wants to come in, you know, and give you their snack or their treat and kind of include you in that celebration. And it was like on a daily basis, I had two or three, you know, cupcakes or cookies or just all this food had come across my desk. And it was just a real eye-opener, like how much this is coming into the school. And it's obvious it's not stuff I would eat on my own, but kind of just raised a red flag anyway, because it was like, wow, this is a bit concerning. But I was also, you know, I know enough to know that to come in and say something like, no cookies, no cupcakes, none of that. That wouldn't go over very well, and I probably wouldn't be there very long. One of the things that I communicated, I found a PTC parent who kind of shared a similar philosophy to mine and said, you know, what do you think of, is there a possibility that we can get some smoothies in here and maybe start doing some classroom celebrations with making some smoothies and some kale fruit smoothies? And this this person was just all over it, and ended up, she wrote a grant and got us a Vitamix for our school. And we, the first year we did it, we started averaging about two or three smoothie parties a week. You figure there's 25 kids in a classroom. So our first year, and we kept tallies on this, so I'm not just making this stuff up, but our first year we had about 1100 smoothies that were handed out. And the way that we did it to even make it easier on parents is, and I, as you know, you got little kids, and it's oftentimes you kind of forget some things until the day of. And we wanted to make it easier for parents to participate in this. So we sent out a notice, and basically all they had to do was send in a check, and the PTC members, volunteers, would come in and do everything. So it was really a weight off of parents, which I think helped increase the number of smoothies that we had for celebrations. And the kids loved them. Kids, they loved that stuff. And it was just, it was really cool. So we had about 1,100 smoothies that first year. Our second year, we continued. I'd say right around in 2 years of doing that project, we had about 2,500 smoothies, which I envision that as, you know, think of those 25. I mean, if you can just like visualize that sitting on a desk or in a classroom and replace, you know, cookies and cupcakes and all that store-bought and stuff with smoothies. It's really quite remarkable, I think, and it's a good stepping stone for teaching our kids and as well as our families that it's something easy, it tastes good, and, you know, as a result of really kind of putting that in the culture, we have teachers throughout the building that started drinking smoothies because they got to try them because the kids gave them to the teachers, and they're like, oh, yeah, this is pretty good. So then on their own at their home, they started making them. Kids started bringing smoothies when they brought their lunches from home, and it was just really cool. And it all started just because, you know, you had a willing parent and an idea, and you made it happen, and we didn't step on anyone's toes there. So I really think that was a success, and I see no reason why that wouldn't continue once I'm gone, because it really didn't hinge on me. I was just kind of an advocate, but it wasn't dependent on me to make it happen.
That's awesome. So that was a part of, I mean, how do you see that as a small step kind of thing? Were you in that sort of mindset when you decided to see if that would work, how to ease your way in?
Yeah. You know, that's, you know, the big picture is school nutrition, and that's just that's a beast. And I'm not in a position to take that on. And quite honestly, I don't think it'd be, you know, to go in there right now as a, in my role, I really see it as more of almost, it's big. I couldn't do anything right away. And I think I've always kind of approached things with impatience, but tried to be strategic about it is, you know, coming in and beating people over the head and saying, "All right, this is what we need to do. I really want to do this, and I want to take this this huge leap." It dies before it even begins because it's too much. But the small step part is, all right, what can I do right now? And I mean, this was something that we could. I mean, it was instant, and it was a very small step. And rather than eliminating things, we really just introduced something. And it grew because of that. So it was really, I thought it was a big, small step, if you will.
Yeah. And I remember you emailed me, I think the first email I got from you was telling how you had implemented a small step practice in this setting, in the smoothie setting. Is that right?
Yep.
And I thought it was so fascinating because that had been,
a manifestation of the, you know, the small step approach in a way that I had never foreseen. You know, most people that listen to the podcast and that I work with are, you know, doing it for themselves or with their families. But it was, I think that when I got your email, it was the first time it had been in the context of a organization even. And I thought, and that was really eye-opening for me even to see how that could affect that big of a change by, you know, on that large of a scale.
Well, that's exactly it. And that's, you know, what, if, you know, I think where I'm coming from and what I think we all have our, we all have our position of influence. And if we could take that influence and implement a small step towards the direction that we want to go, that's huge. And we, so this, my point of influence is in education. And I think there's a lot of huge things that we can do there. And again, the just taking those small steps and doing something like this. And I just, so here's some, so let's take that first offset of this smoothie idea, which was the beginning. Well, you know, other things that came out of that is we developed, every year we have a wellness night at the school where it's all about health. We serve, it's a community event. We bring in families, we serve healthy food. We have different activities, yoga, karate, basketball. We wrote a grant. We got a climbing wall for our school, all sorts of health and wellness. So that's kind of embedded in the culture. And that spawned off of, you know, the smoothie, if you will. In the fourth grade, they sell smoothies at this thing as a fundraiser, and people are just lined up to buy all these smoothies, and you have all these kids having a hand in it. We wrote a grant in this last spring. We planted our school garden, and that, again, very small step. We didn't go huge with it, because if it would have went huge, the fear, and actually I thank my secretary for this, who just so happens to be a master gardener and kind of this was her baby. But my initial vision for it was, oh, let's just go, you know, let's do this, you know, let's, this huge vision. And she's like, well, let's make sure we could do something that's sustainable this first year instead of it just being some overgrown, unkept thing. And then it kind of might be viewed as a failure. So we set something out that was manageable, and it looks great. There's we're getting produce from it. But the way I envision that eventually is, you know, there's no reason we can't grow our own kale in our school garden. And also an offshoot of that with healthy living with our families is, I mean, schools, we got a ton of real estate. We got acres of playground and just grass that people don't even play on. That's just, you know, prime spot for these school gardens. And my hope for that space is that it would be not just our school garden, but our school community garden, so that families who might not have access to the type of land that we do, they can come with their kids. It's not meant to be exclusionary at all. I want, you know, if I could have people, even people who live around the school, and they could come in and, you know, have a plot within our fenced in spot to protect it from the deer and all the other critters we have up here in northern Minnesota. I mean, what a huge opportunity. And all it does is just, it's almost like just giving people permission to use it and take off from there. So again, it's all just these, just kind of started from one idea, and then they kind of keep compounding from there.
Yeah, and I always say, and this is, you know, probably a fairly obvious point, but it is all these small steps with people are typically bigger than the step itself, and there's a far-reaching effect. And was your foray into small steps via the podcast, or was that sort of something you were doing beforehand, or what was that? What was the history of that for you?
Well, it's interesting because the more I listen to some of your things, I think one of your more recent podcasts, and I was just getting a chuckle out of it, is you're talking about, you know, like the 3 months or 4 months down the road, you know, you're going to wish you had started. The time's going to go by anyway. And that's something that I've kind of played over in my mind for years when it comes to, you know, let's say learning an instrument or going back to school and getting a degree or whatever it is. It's like the time's going to go by anyway. So you might as well start, if it's something you want to do, start putting one foot in front of the other. And when that time goes by, you're going to be that much farther towards your goal. So I guess, you know, in one way I was probably doing the small steps, but I think, you know, it's really easy, you know, when life catches up to you too, to kind of just get overwhelmed and maybe back off from that a bit. And through listening to the podcast, it was really like, you know, I'm always trying to improve. And I think there's so many things that we can, let's just start by doing something. And I just think that's huge. And I've adopted it on a personal level as well.
Well, that was my next question, was to see how that had affected you personally. It sounds incredible. I know you've got a family and it's got to be fulfilling to you to do the work that you're doing, to affect that many people. I mean, just in like 5 minutes, you described how it was a ripple effect on one nugget of an idea, and it's literally making people at home make smoothies for themselves. That was probably an unintended consequence, you know. And it's a pretty amazing story, and that's why I asked Jan, because it was, when I got your email, I was like, well, look at that. That's a whole other thing, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right on when, you know, with so much of it is a you know, it's these personal growth models that a lot of us can take on. But, you know, even when we all go to work, we're all just a bunch of people there. And if we're able to expand that and, you know, what a good thing. And that's how it happens. And I think, you know, just stepping out and just doing that, anything, because I think most of us, we're looking for empowerment and we're looking for inspiration. And I just think it's really exciting, and I really appreciate the work that you do and putting that out there. And it's just, you know, it's funny how I'll give you another example here. My good friend Andy Holst, who I think does some product stuff for you,
right?
Good friend of mine. I've known him since third grade, and we kind of lost touch, but we reconnected over this. He, you know, heard I was doing this plant-based stuff and just kind of started me asking me some questions, and kind of went back and forth. And then I was like, all right, you should check out this podcast. And this guy, I mean, and just through a little conversation like that, it took him to a new place. And now he, from where he is at, is, you know, spreading his through his influence, and it's created that. It's just it's a total ripple effect. I just think it's such a big thing. And I don't know if, you know, I don't know how you could imagine that, but when you first set out to say, all right, I'm going to throw out this podcast, that, to have any idea that it was going to have the ripple effect that it does.
Yeah, I honestly didn't. I just thought I would do it. And I knew that I was having success on an individual basis with myself and with the very few clients I had at the time. But I know what we all know, which is that we all affect other people, especially in the age of social media. We're affecting people far, far wide, you know, geographically more than ever before. And so, you know, it's just what it is. And I think that you're doing it, what you've done and are doing embodies that perfectly. And it's a very inspiring story. And anyway, I just can't tell you how much I appreciate you coming on here and the work that you do. Keep it up. I wish I lived closer by. I'd send my kids to your school.
say since I got you on here, can I ask you a couple questions?
Sure.
The you know, what were you working through, or what were you trying to achieve when you kind of had that aha moment and were like, oh, it's, you know, getting back to the more natural, it's approaching the natural. Like, what were you working through, or what were you trying to achieve when you kind of had that aha moment and stumbled upon that led to all this?
Mostly it was a response to just stress, you know, in my life, like most people. But I did have a moment where I was driving, I've talked about this in interviews before, where I was driving up the street in my car, and I just had this moment where I thought, look at me, I'm clothed in this cage, this machine that's moving me up a hill at a very hot, high speed. I'm blocked from the sun. I'm breathing air that's coming through vents. And I thought, for that moment, just like how far we've become as an animal, how far away from what's natural. And then it sort of led me to this idea of, what if we just creeped back and just started to include a little bit more, not all the way, because we're still living in this weird world, but how can we bring a little bit more? And I honestly just tried it on myself first, but it was a way for me to expand what began as a nutrition practice into a much wider ranging, you know, and realizing food just really is one of the things, and that it's all about how to bring in a little bit more of what's natural and try to not make that as a sound new agey or sort of hippie, but just like real life. Like we're all animals, like you said, like we're all people going to work, you know, and we are all animals in our bodies and minds. And if we can appeal to that a little bit better, then it works. And it does. And I've found that time and time again now for years now. And I've never been disproven, you know, in that way. When people take this on, it works. And it's just a matter of battling against the attractive sell of a quicker fix, but this really does work when you dive in, as you've seen.
Yeah. And you said it very well. And I think it's funny, you know, so we hear, well, you know, be it food, you know, trying to tackle food or maybe, you know, anything. And, you know, the common thing that we hear, is, well, you know, we turned out all right, didn't we? And, you know, I think it begs the question, well, did we? I don't know if we're doing that well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And nothing happens overnight. It's all cumulative.
Yeah.
And one other question, because this is stuff that I deal with personally, and I bet a lot of your other listeners probably do as well. But you know, I just talked about how you've had this huge, you know, this ripple effect. And, you know, here I am in Minnesota, and you've impacted what I do and this spread. What's the reaction, or have you influenced your immediate family or that of your wife's family? Are you seeing that, you know, are they followers, if you will?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely, on a nutritional basis for sure. And I think that the more that they're open to you know, what I'm doing and seeing the success I'm having with clients, they're definitely asking questions, but my extended family on both sides, my wife's and mine, have definitely been affected. Sometimes I get frustrated, and my wife reminds me, she's like, look at the difference now with her parents, my siblings, like from what it was 5-6 years ago. It's definitely an effect. And I have to battle through that all or nothing thing. Like, well, they're not doing, you know, this or they're not. And she's like, they're doing so much better. And that's she reminds me, like, that's her whole process. Yep. It's not all or nothing. They're on their own trek. And, you know, it's frustrating. You want what you think is best for people, but they've got to do it on their own. And this is about people taking on their own acts and doing it at their own speed, you know? So it's always a good reminder lesson for me to remember that I have to live my own message, which is I can't be frustrated with somebody not doing something fast enough because they're doing it at their own speed, just like I am too. And so it's definitely been an influence, and it's been a learning process for all of us.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome, Tony. It's been a real pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for taking the time out of your day, although I know you're not starting work till next Tuesday. So, you know, go get some more relaxation in there and then back to work. And please keep in touch and let me know all the things that you're doing, okay?
Yeah, thanks. If anyone else is listening and, you know, they're in education or they're fighting the same battles that I am, and, you know, they've got some ideas, can I throw out my email? And
for sure. Yeah, go do it.
So Tony L. Pierce, P-I-E-R-C-E. @gmail.com. And if you want to talk about ways that we can change this world, shoot me an email and I'd be happy to dive into that.
And as I would too, also, so people know how to reach me, podcast@sidgarzahillman.com. So that'd be great. That maybe we can get a little community going of making these little changes. I think it's awesome.
Awesome. Well, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate this.
You got it, Tony. Thanks so much.
Okay, everybody, I hope that you enjoyed those little testimonials. I thought they were amazing. And so what I decided to do at the end here, besides first saying thank you, thank you, thank you to everybody who has supported me and listened to this podcast and turned another friend on to it, et cetera, et cetera. But I invited my wife, Lisa, who you've seen on the YouTube videos, hopefully, and my buddy, Scott, who even appeared in one YouTube video, but also was the inspiration with his wife, Hillary, for the idea for this episode, as I mentioned before. So say hi, Scott.
Hi.
And my wife, Lisa.
Hi.
Okay. Now, what we're doing here, and I saved this for the 100th episode, is a listener sent me a bottle of single malt scotch, 34-year-old scotch. 34. That's older than I am. And what? Yeah. Anyway, and so we're gonna in ceremony and celebration of this 100th episode, here it goes.
Hey.
That's the opa. And we're going to have a little sip of scotch and then we're going to sign off. So thank you guys. And there will be more. So come back next week and listen. So here we go. Ready? Cheers.
Cheers.
Salud. Salud. Congrats. Thank you very much.
100 episodes.
Thank you very much. That's pretty amazing.
That's good.
That is a great scotch.
Awesome. Very smooth.
All right, you guys, this has been another episode of the Approaching the Natural podcast. Come back next week. And in the meantime, between now and then, try something on that you've never done before. One little teeny step, one deep breath, do something nice for yourselves and do it as a favor to me if that's all it takes. All right, enjoy. And I'll be back next week. In the meantime, be well.
I drank you a whiskey, but it left me undrunk. Climb with a serpent to see what I'd done. I rose past the roses, bloom brighter than the sun. I wished up some wishes, I thought you had begun. So where are you now, with things to be said? And the days colored in, cause I'd have followed you way out of here. Cause I'd have followed you way out of here. I love from the wonder and found a way clear. Lived through the worst offered, then drowned in a tear. I draw myself bravely, but sometimes act from fear. So I slide from a rail and let go all that's dear. Follow you way.